there is nothing with this wrong with this land, but I like this different land too. And we come here every Tuesday to speak with an independent bookseller to find out what's happening and what are some just great books that are out and about on our store shelves, on their store shelves. And we couldn't be more thrilled to have Susanna Hermans with us of Oblong Books in Millerton and Rhinebeck, who joins us this morning to tell us what is up as we approach these dog days of summer. And Susanna, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm good. You know, it's been about 12 hours since I've seen you, and and we were Susanna was nice. They had a wonderful, beautiful event last night at the Morton Memorial Library in Rhinecliff with Mary Louise Wilson, a Tony Award-winning actress who has written a blockbuster theater memoir entitled My First 100 Years in Show Business. And Mary Louise Wilson, who lives in Stone Ridge, we should note, and who just got off of Broadway in On the 20th Century with Kristen Chenoweth and Peter Gallagher, who was amazing.
Amazing.
Really incredible. Finished the show a week ago, came up north, and has this book out, and we did a book show taping last night, and it was a really fun event, and congratulations to you and your crew, because it was just a very... Susanna, we'll tell them about the quote-unquote problem we had.
Oh, my goodness. So ticket sales were fine, but then people, like, we had twice as many people at the door than we could have ever imagined. I mean, I was just, like... totally overwhelmed in the best possible way by turnout. So that has inspired me a lot to do more things like that.
We were in the back in sort of the green room, if you will, which is the actual library. And Susanna was taking selfies, and then all of a sudden she's like, "Oh my God, I have to go sell tickets." It was running
it's
out.
True.
It was a whole, but it was great. We were packed to we were at capacity, and it was really great. We had a lovely evening, and that will air. Probably by the end of the segment, I can give you an actual date of when that book show will air. I think it's like 2 weeks or so. So
nice.
We'll look at that. Meanwhile, you have a stack of amazing books, and these are all the cool things that I didn't get to talk to you about last night. So we'll do it on the radio this morning.
Oh, man. I brought some of my favorites today. So many of you might have heard of a book that came out recently by a famous author that was like a long-lost manuscript, right?
Yes.
So there's another book by another famous American author, long-lost manuscript, that came out today. And that is the new Dr. Seuss book, What Pet Should I Get? Another totally, like, buried in the attic kind of situation. It's actually delightful. It's the brother and sister go to the pet shop and can't decide what pet to take home. Mom and dad have said only one. And they spend the whole book rhyming their way to finding their new pet, as Dr. Seuss does. But my favorite part, because I read this and I'm like, oh, well, that's sweet. But I'm sort of, you know, the whole pet store thing makes me feel a little squicky,
right,
being an animal person. But I'll be darned if not at the back of this book is there not a whole bunch of editorial material from the publisher about how important it is to adopt your pet from a shelter. It's fabulous. The book says, basically, at the back of the book, there's like a publisher's note, which says... this book was written 50 years ago, and today we adopt our pets from shelters because they're the ones who need loving families. And it also goes on to talk about all the pets Dr. Seuss had in his lifetime.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So it's a really sort of nice antidote to the sort of very 1960s pet shop story, which makes me a little uncomfortable. But it's really sweet and lovely and a good conversation starter with your kids about animals and also about the history of... animal adoption in America.
I just love this.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Oh, I love Dr. Seuss. I love reading Dr. Seuss, and this book just is so great. It is What Pet Should I Get by Dr. Seuss, and published by Random House, and good for them. Very, very nice. This dog looks like Max from The Grinch.
He does, yeah.
Which I love. That's my favorite Dr. Seuss creation. Okay.
Next up, for the same age group, we have The Princess and the Pony by Kate Beaton. Kate Beaton, of course, is the creator of the webcomic Hark a Vagrant, which took over the New York Times bestseller list a few years back, and now she's venturing into books for young readers. This is the story of a princess named Princess Pinecone, who is a warrior, obviously. She is the smallest warrior in the kingdom, and it's her birthday. And every warrior gets some sort of crazy amazing present on their birthday, like a fancy sword or a shield or an amazing animal to help them fight. And she's so psyched. Her parents, what are they going to get her? They get her a pony, a little tiny, itsy-bitsy, fluffy, rounded pony. And she's like, well, this is great. What am I going to do with this pony? So she tries her best to train the pony to be a warrior, but it's just not. It's like goofing around and like laying on its back and like rolling about and being adorable. But then, of course, when it comes time for battle practice, she finds out that the pony is actually so cute that it distracts the attackers. And they're like, oh, my God, look, it's the cute. Look at that cute pony. And that is how she wins the battles, with cuteness and cuddliness and amazingness. I love it. It's a great girl power story. I am Team Princess Pinecone for sure.
This is Team Princess Pinecone. The Princess and the Pony from Kate Beaton, and the book is published by Scholastic, and it just looks great. A lot of fun, wonderful colors, and very cool stories. So,
and next up, we have another picture book, though this one I'd say is maybe for kids ages 5 to 9. It's a little older. It is a nonfiction picture book. Well, I guess you would say it's a fiction picture book with a nonfiction component. It's called Lillian's Right to Vote by Jonah Winter and Shane W. Evans. It is a celebration of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And this is the story of a woman who is a very, very old woman, and it's voting day, and she is on her way to vote. She walks to the polling place, and she has to walk up this big, long hill. And on her way, she passes by the spirits of all of her ancestors that came before her who were not allowed to vote through history, through the 15th Amendment to the Constitution, and Selma, and all of these incredible things. And at the end of the book, she places her vote. And it is the most gorgeous book. And I cannot look through this book without tearing up. I mean, it's really, really powerful. It has a lot of history in it, a really decent amount of text, could be used on a lot of different levels with kids of many ages, and has a great author's note in the back that provides a little bit even more depth to the story. I think that every teacher and librarian has to have this book. And every family should have a copy, too. It's really stunning.
Lillian is the pictures of her climbing up the hill, but the portraits of the ghosts, the spirits, are really beautiful. And it's rather haunting, but gorgeous.
Yes.
Lillian's Right to Vote, a celebration of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And the book is by Jonah Winter and Shane Evans. Gorgeous stuff.
Moving on to a couple of books for our teen readers. First up, we have Emmy and Oliver. I would say this is probably for ages 12 and up. And this is by Robin Benway. It's a story of Emmy and Oliver. So best friends when they were little kids, besties, next door neighbors. Oliver gets kidnapped essentially by his father when they're very young. And the book begins, now they're teenagers, and Oliver is suddenly returned. And he tries to pick up where he left off. But in his mind, he grew up with a loving father. He didn't really experience it as a negative thing. And he loves his dad very much and doesn't understand why the police are trying to find his father exactly. Meanwhile, his mother is totally beside herself to have her son back. But also, she feels like she doesn't know him anymore. And Emmy, the next door neighbor, is just trying to be his friend and help him through this. But of course, he's not the boy he was when she last saw him. It's beautiful.
Emmy and Oliver, it's published by Harper by Robin Benway.
And then Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda by Becky Albertalli. This is like a delightful gay rom-com. I loved it. It's about Simon, who is a gay teen, and he has been carrying on this sort of email relationship with another boy in his school, but he doesn't know, they don't know who each other are. It's like an anonymous relationship. And accidentally one day he leaves his email open in the school library, and some kid takes screenshots of their conversations and sort of blackmails him a little bit. He's not out to his school. I mean, he's not opposed to coming out, but he didn't really intend for it to happen this way. And we get to see the relationship of these two boys through email. It is so lovely and perfect, and just a fun summer read.
Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda, and it is by
Becky
Albertalli.
Albertalli, yep.
Yep, excellent. And you have signed copies.
We do, yeah. We had her a couple weeks back at our store. She's great. Another thing that will work for it's a comic that will work for teenagers or adults is Ms. Marvel. So I have to admit, I am not super versed in the world of comics. I'm just beginning to appreciate the vast array of incredible work that's happening there. But Ms. Marvel was rebooted a couple years ago. There are three volumes out now, three trade volumes that you can pick up in bookstores. And the new Ms. Marvel is a teenage girl living in Jersey City, a Muslim American teenage girl, which is so cool. She's like this regular kid dealing with regular kid issues. And all of a sudden one day she picks up the mantle of Ms. Marvel and is like, oh no, what's going to happen to me now? They're written by G. Willow Wilson, who is an incredible, incredible storyteller. And if you haven't picked up a comic in a while, this is a great place to start. So the first of volume is called Ms. Marvel, No Normal. And they're a blast.
Being called the most important comic published of the year. It is Ms. Marvel, No Normal, and out from Marvel Comics. Very cool.
And then moving into grown-up books, as we do, Saint Maisie by Jamie Attenberg is the newest novel from the author of The Middlesteens, which was a Times 10 Best Books of the Year book a couple years back. I loved this book. It is based on the true life story of a woman who ran the box office at a movie theater beginning in the 1920s. And it's her life story fictionalized, as she basically sits in this little booth and watches the world happen around her and the interactions she has with the people in New York City and the charity work she does. And it's told through the guise of a diary having been found by a historian and the historian reassembling her life based on this diary. It's beautiful. I love Jamie's work. She's one of my favorite writers that you've never heard of. So definitely check out her new one, Saint Maisie.
Saint Maisie by Jamie Attenberg, published by Grand Central.
And then the book I'm reading right this minute, and I was actually listening to the audiobook on my way here this morning, The Fold by Peter Kleins. This is a sci-fi novel that just hit our shelves maybe a week or two ago. It is the story of a super genius, high IQ guy who has eidetic memory. He can remember everything he has seen or heard ever in his life. He can recall it at an instant. He gets recruited by DARPA to go to this science facility in the desert where they're performing some sort of experimentation that he is not sure what's going on. But he gets sent to observe this science experiment. And things seem like they're going great until they're not anymore. Dun, dun, dun. It's super fast-paced and thrilling. I loved it. It's just great. And I'd say if you were a Michael Crichton fan and are looking for something that has that sort of pacing, this is probably a great book for you. It has maybe a little bit more depth of character than those books, but Peter Kleins, I'm a fan. Can't wait to read the rest of his stuff.
Good stuff. Peter Kleins, The Fold, published by Crown. Wonderful list, and we got them all in on time. That's even best of all. For more information on Oblong Books and music and the great work that they do, you can go to their website, oblongbooks.com, or visit them, for goodness sakes. They're in Rhinebeck and Millerton, and you should go see them. Susanna Herman's great to see you again, and thank you very much, and we look forward to having you back very soon.
Thanks, Joe.
Always a pleasure. Again, you can find out go to oblongbooks.com, find the list there. You can go to our website, wamc.org/roundtable, and we'll bring you to that site as well. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.